Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Fox News recently reported that the New York Times published information that cost the U.S. government the chance to kill the leader of ISIS. Trouble is, the information was first released by the Pentagon and reported by Fox itself well before the New York Times story. The Times demanded an apology. President Trump is in the mix. It's all part of ratcheted up pressure on news gatherers. We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We want to look at this dust up, maybe more than that, between the Times and Fox News. Joining me now via Skype from Washington is Hadass Gold. She covers media and politics for Politico. Hadass Gold, welcome back to On Point.
Great to be with you.
And with us from London is Angelo Carasone, president of the liberal media watchdog group Media Matters for America. Angelo, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hadass, can you describe to us, remind us, what unfolded here that had the New York Times making this, I think, unprecedented request, demand for an apology from Fox News?
So this actually all started with General Tony Thomas, who was at this festival or this conference in Aspen, where he was being interviewed by a Fox News reporter, Catherine Herridge. And in that interview, he talked about how they had a very good lead to kill this ISIS leader, al-Baghdadi, but that, quote, unfortunately, it was leaked in a prominent national newspaper about a week later, and that lead went dead.
We're talking about events in 2015 here.
Right, events in 2015. Now, what happened was that the Pentagon had actually announced a raid that they announced had given them good information to potentially lead to the capture of this man. Fox News then later reported on those statements made by the general and said that it was the New York Times who had reported on the details that potentially could have harmed the attempt to get this ISIS leader. Now, the New York Times says that a lot of outlets report on this, that the Pentagon itself announced this raid. The New York Times did report further details, and others did, especially in a June article. But they say that it is completely untrue, that it was their fault. What happened, though, is that when Fox and Friends reported on this on Saturday morning, they had chyrons, which are those little title cards at the bottom of the screen that said New York Times foils attempt to get al-Baghdadi. Their hosts pretty much blamed the New York Times for this,
and then question the Times patriotism.
Yes, question the Times patriotism, and then the president tweeted about this. He said that the New York Times foiled this attempt, that they have their own agenda over national security, and that led to the New York Times requesting that Fox issue an apology.
Let's go back to the original tape. This was at the Aspen Security Forum last week, and we had General Tony Thomas. He's been right in the middle of Special Operations High Command for the U.S. military. And the general said there, and this also seemed to be misleading given the facts of the case, that the ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was near capture but got away because of a report in a major American paper. He didn't say which one. Fox and Friends laid that charge at the feet of the New York Times. Here was the general.
It was a very good lead. Unfortunately, it was leaked in a prominent national newspaper about a week later, and that lead went dead. So, that's the challenge we have in terms of where and how our tactics and procedures are discussed openly. There's a great need to inform the American public about what we're up to. There's also a great need to recognize things that will absolutely undercut our ability to do our job.
Now, it looks like the general was engaged in a little revisionist history there. It was much more than a week. It was several weeks after the Pentagon itself had announced this raid and the material that they had retrieved, and after Fox News had reported on this. But Fox picked right up on this. The general was being interviewed by one of their people in Aspen, and here's part of Fox and Friends, the Saturday show, accusing the New York Times of leaking highly sensitive information. This is Peter Hegseth.
He's sitting talking to our own Catherine Herridge, admitting that we would have had al-Baghdadi based on the intelligence we had, except someone leaked information to the failing New York Times in 2015. This is the previous administration, and as a result, we think he slipped away.
And then just piling on with the kind of language that we've heard a lot of from President Donald Trump. Here's Hegseth and his Abby Huntsman, his co-host there.
That's one of the other reasons it's a failing New York Times. It's not just failing in its credibility. It's failing our country.
Well, it's failing the American people. Because
war fighters.
Yeah, you think about what the role is of media today. Is it to inform and to protect the American people? Because if that is the case, you think about something like that and the harm that it does to our national security.
Angelo Carasone, I'm sure you've followed all this. What do you make of this fight between the Times and Fox News on this point?
Well, I think that there's a little bit of context, even beyond the broader attacks and relationship between Trump and the New York Times and the rest of the news media in just this particular triangle from a few weeks ago. Because it was just July 10th that Fox and Friends ran a report that claimed that James Comey had leaked top secret information to the New York Times and that it was illegal. Donald Trump proceeded to tweet about it, parroting exactly the New York Times, the Fox and Friends segment. Fox and Friends subsequently issued a correction the next day. Donald Trump did not correct it, nor did he, you know, take down any of his tweets. But it was sort of a very similar dynamic in which, one, it was totally fabricated. Two, the New York Fox and Friends just sort of jumped to the conclusion that it was the New York Times. So they were picking up sort of the Donald Trump's favorite target. And then three, they had it completely wrong, but it still made its way to Donald Trump's Twitter feed. So when you fast forward to the most recent events, the thing that I found interesting is that you're right. The Times never really came up. It was actually Fox and Friends that injected that into the narrative. And in part, I think it demonstrates the continuation of this broader sort of, you know, battle and war that Trump is waging through these sort of media proxies on venerable institutions. And it's not just the Times. It's obviously many other outlets as well. But the Times, by far, is the outlet that Donald Trump has attacked the most on his social media accounts since he's been president, over 20 times. And that's more than any other individual outlet or paper.
It was a major raid in 2015. The Pentagon was very quick to talk about it, crow about it. They shared that they scooped up a lot of information there about how the ISIS leader al-Baghdadi moved around. They had come up with the wife of one of his chief lieutenants there, and they made it clear that they had her in their custody. Fox News came out talking about this, and about a week after the Pentagon made its own revelations, and then the Times 3 weeks after, and then last week we come back to this general who's characterized or recharacterized what happened there. I mean, Hadass, that's interesting in itself. Does it appear that the Pentagon narrative or some portion of it has reworked these events to lay the failure to ultimately get Baghdadi at that time at the feet of the New York Times? Is that what the general's remarks indicate?
I mean, this is a really good point that a lot of these questions lay with General Thomas and what he exactly meant, who and what exactly he was specifically speaking to. The New York Times, in that June article where they did include more details, including they detailed things that they seized a trove of 4 to 7 terabytes of data about what was going on. So it is true that they reported a lot more details. The Times says that they cleared all of these details with the Pentagon before reporting them, and that the Pentagon had no objections to them reporting any of this information because, as people should know, sometimes news organizations will purposely not report details that they might have if the government presents a compelling case that says that it could harm, put people in harm's way or could harm a very important operation. Then sometimes news organizations will show discretion and not report those. And in this case, they said the Pentagon did not object to anything and that they have not heard any complaints from any senior American official until General Thomas's comments. So clearly there's a lot more that we need to figure out here and just go to the general himself and see why he said the things that he did this past weekend.
Now, back at the time, Fox News had come out themselves well before the New York Times, a couple of 3 weeks, and said on air that the newly recovered intelligence from this raid, this is quoting Fox here, may bring the U.S. closer to Baghdadi's kill or capture. So the gist of it was already right there. The Pentagon was already talking about it. But then Fox and Friends over the weekend, casting it in this new way, Times reporting foils capture of ISIS leader. And within 20-25 minutes of that Fox report on air, you have the President of the United States tweeting. This was Donald Trump on Saturday. The failing New York Times foiled U.S. attempt to kill the single most wanted terrorist, al-Baghdadi. Their sick agenda over national security. I mean, Angelo, the President comes in here and sort of puts the pedal to the metal and takes it right down to a Times-driven agenda. It's a threat to American national security. Just buys the Fox version or takes it and runs hard with it, Angelo.
Yeah, and that's what underlies all of this. is that Fox and Friends did not even do the most basic, put aside of the fact check. They didn't even reach out to the target for a comment. Had they done that, there's a great likelihood that the segment would not have run in the way that it did, in which case it would not have poisoned the well or misinformed Donald Trump, and therefore not led to this cascade of tweets and sort of more fuel to the fire against some of these stalwart news media. And one thing that jumps out to me about all of this, and it sort of, I think, brings everything full circle and is somewhat ironic, is that Fox and Friends has long had a history of taking content both from FoxNews.com and from other sites and running it. And back in 2009, after they had run a series of pretty big flaps under very similar circumstances, John Moody, who was the vice president of news at the time at Fox News, actually did a very extensive interview with the New York Times, admonishing Fox and Friends, his own network's program, for failing to meet even the most basic journalistic standards when it came to verifying segments and content for segments that were running. And he issued a dictate to the newsroom that said that stories, even those that appear on Fox News, cannot just on FoxNews.com, cannot just be independently run as a segment during Fox and Friends unless they are verified. And so what I find interesting about all of this is that it's coming full circle, because when Fox was trying to sort of clean this long pattern up at Fox and Friends, they actually went to the Times to try to reestablish themselves. And here we are, where the Times has now been a recipient, not just once, but twice so far this month, of a misleading or completely false Fox and Friends segment that gets into Donald Trump's Twitter feed. And what this really does underscore is the symbiotic relationship between some of Fox News' programming, there's other right-wing media as well, but in particular Fox and Friends and Sean Hannity, and the lens through which Donald Trump's worldview is greatly informed. I mean, they really do shape the lens through which he sees the world. And I think that's ultimately what the takeaway is here.
Of course, the president really taking it another step forward with his their sick agenda over national security. I mean, this is the kind of characterization of press reporting that in many countries precedes a crackdown on the press. You say, well, the reporting is a threat to national security, and pretty soon, I don't know about this country, but in a lot of other countries, that's the prelude to really getting into it with a free press that ends up, in other countries anyway, not so free. Kayla in Johnson City, Tennessee. Kayla, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just have a comment about Donald Trump getting his news directly from Fox and Friends. Why would the president, someone who could get any information that he wanted as far as how the government works and what's going on in the United States, sit and watch Fox and Friends every day and then tweet about it and tweet what he thought about the show, pretty much repeat exactly what they had said right after the show is over? I mean, Donald Trump is pretty much like any regular old grandfather in the United States, just sits and watches Fox and Friends and believes everything that he hears on it. And as far as the president goes, that's insane.
Let me take it to Hadass. Hadass, what do we know about the president's media diet and how he looks at Fox, I guess?
Well, we know that the president really watches a decent amount of television. Some former presidents would actually shun coverage of themselves. President Obama was kind of infamous for not watching, for claiming that he didn't watch cable news and only watching ESPN. This president is quite the opposite. He's very well connected to the media. He's constantly watching television. He's very well aware of his own coverage. He is known to record shows and return back and watch them later, even if they are, for example, morning shows. He's been known to talk about how great his DVR program is.
But this is more than just watching. It's almost symbiotic. Yeah. I mean, there you've got messages being sort of volleyed back and forth or burnished, Angelo, by Fox and the White House.
Yeah, that's right. And in particular, there's, you know, Fox and Friends and Trump have a special relationship, even more than just the regular Fox News and Trump. Donald Trump has repeatedly attributed his victory partially to his many years as having a regular weekly segment on Fox and Friends on Fox and Friends prior to the election, and it's reflected very much even in his tweets. I mean, this year alone, since he's been president, he has promoted or tweeted or retweeted Fox and Friends specifically 36 times.
But this time aimed it at a major news institution and kind of looking to take it down. The president's fake news chant is out there all the time, and this time as well, saying with the idea of it as a threat to national security. Simon in Savannah, Georgia. Simon, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I'd like to say that President Trump's attack on the free press is obviously the first step on the road toward fascism. The first step in the fascist playbook is to delegitimize and control the media. There's an article written by Umberto Eco, I think that's his name, entitled The 14 Points of Fascism, which is would kind of give you a roadmap as to how it might unfold. Thanks, Tom.
Umberto Eco, novelist, Italian, might know of what he speaks. Angelo, is Simon's view too dire?
No, I don't think that it's too dire. I would be more, when I think about it, I try not to overwhelm it and just get very precise. One, and you alluded to this earlier, is that in terms of the authoritarian's playbook, you have to do two things simultaneously. One is you have to erode the capacity for the truth tellers and to sort of undermine the fact, and that is what the news media does. And then you simultaneously have to build up an alternative media apparatus. So you have to dismantle but also build up something that's loyal and friendly. And both of those two things are certainly happening in tandem, while simultaneously eroding trust and legitimacy in these important facts and really arbiters of truth, these institutions. He is also simultaneously promoting a sycophantic and propagandistic media outlet, not just Fox and Friends, but also in the form of some other Fox News hosts like Sean Hannity, and then a few other sort of emerging right-wing media figures. And so I look at both sides of it, and that alone doesn't really bode well for autocracy.
Hadas, our time is short. Did the Times ever get its apology from Fox News, Hadas?
No, the Times did not get their apology. Fox and Friends, definitely, they updated their story, but they never apologized or necessarily issued a whole retraction.
And there we are, a situation with the White House and the American media, Fox and Friends, Fox News, and the New York Times in the summer of 2017. I want to thank both of you for being with us. Angelo Carasone, president of Media Matters for America, with us from London. Thank you, Angelo.
Thank you.
And Hadas Gold with Politico, covering media there. Hadas, thanks as always.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.